Father, we love you. Father, I pray you would set each and every heart in this place ablaze for you. God, that you would turn us upside down, Father, and that, Father, you would be leading us in every way, every direction, every step. God, that it wouldn't be our leading, it wouldn't be our desires, Father, but it would be you. God, it would be your ways, your path. Father, we love you so much, and God, we are so thankful that you loved us first. God, I pray that today we would, if we don't fully trust you, that after today we would fully trust you, Father, that we would start in that process, God. Father, I pray that today we would stand boldly for you, and that you would give us boldness and a heart that desires to see our community saved. Father, I pray that you would give us a heart that would build each other up here in the things of you. Father, that you would give us a heart and courage to pray for each other with boldness. God, I praise you and thank you. And God, even as we prepare for this morning's tithes and offerings, God, I pray that you would just bless this offering, God. Father, we pray that you would just build your kingdom here in Rosetown in the province of Saskatchewan, God. Father, I pray that these funds would be used for your glory and only your glory. God, we pray that you would bless the gift and giver alike. Father, I pray that we would give with joyful hearts and not out of command, but out of desire, out of joy. And Father, I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you take up this morning's tithes and offerings? I should have read all of my announcements because I actually had to put it in there because I forget. So thanks, music team. So I got a short story to tell, and it's not really a funny ha-ha story, but it's just a story I want to share. And it's about a friend of mine who this past week had a car accident on, I believe it was Thursday night. So my friend Paul is a Newfoundland cowboy, if you will, which is kind of strange, but he has a Newfie accent, calls people by as he wears a cowboy hat and Wranglers and cowboy boots. So he's just not a normal thing, but he's not normal at all. But Paul came to our men's group in Lloyd, good guy, had some problems that he was working through. And so he's been working with these, and I'll meet with him the odd time, and guys from the church in Lloyd will meet with him. So Paul was driving his truck. I'm not sure if he was hunting or what his purpose was, but he was on some grid roads and thought he was following his GPS how to get somewhere, I guess. And he was on a different road than what the GPS thought he was on. And the road he was on was a dead end. The road he thought he was on was go straight another kilometer and he's going to end up at his buddy's house. So he's driving at his regular speed of, I don't know, 90, 85, maybe 120. I don't know how fast Paul drives on a gravel road. But Paul didn't stop because his road was supposed to be a straight through road and hit the ditch on the other side and hit an embankment and a tree. And so Paul was pretty messed up. His buddy that he was going to see came and picked him up, and his truck was a mess. Airbags went off, obviously. And so his buddy helped him to his truck, drove him to the hospital, at which point they filled him full of painkillers and rushed him to Saskatoon. So Paul gets to Saskatoon and they do some x-rays and discover he has a broken back, severely broken back. And they're like, you got it walked out of your vehicle. You shouldn't be walking, first off. And they braced him all down and tied him down. And they said, if you move, you will be paralyzed. You have severely crushed vertebrae. We're going to need to do surgery and fuse your back. So then he's laying there all tied down in whatever method they do, tie his neck, tie his body, and they've got his head stabilized. And so they get on Facebook and message some of us friends, so we start praying for healing. And Paul says, I need to get up and move, I need to move. So they braced him all up, and he's like, well, you can't get up and walk. And Paul was in the hospital for 4 hours, and they said, if you move, if you walk, you're going to be paralyzed. To 4 hours later, Paul's walking around the hospital. I got this video of Paul walking around the hospital. And I just want to encourage you guys that that's the power of prayer, because Paul's supposed to be laying in the hospital bed, not moving, and possibly could possibly be paralyzed or lose use of his extremities, and he's walking around the hospital hours later, which is pretty cool. So he's supposed to be in the hospital in Saskatoon. They tell him for 2 months, 3 months, he's going to need surgery right away. They actually took him back to Lloydminster yesterday, and he's in the hospital in Lloyd now, just in a regular hospital room. He has a brace because the doctors are scared to take it off, because you know how doctors are, they got to cover their bums. But he's in out of Saskatoon Hospital. He's walking. He walked to get a coffee from the cafeteria. I think that's pretty cool. So I just want to encourage you guys just about the power of prayer. Just remember that God's still in the healing business, and we can't discredit that. And I think too often we do. I hope that encouraged you. It was exciting. It was exciting for us, and exciting for Paul, I think, because he was astonished. But all of our friends are they're taking videos, and look at the power of prayer does. And this guy's walking. So, cool. Anyway, so last week I thought I had shortened my sermon, because I don't like keeping you guys all day, and plus the food was smelling really good. And I shortened my number of slides, and then I still wound up being 45 minutes, so that's probably my hit point is 40 to 45 minutes. But I'm trying to shorten it a bit more, because my wife tells me I'm too long-winded sometimes. She's not here, so I can blame it on her. Maybe it was Lyle. I don't know. Just kidding. But today we're going to talk about people who believe in God, but they don't fully trust Him. So I'm going to ask some questions, and the first question here is a question you couldn't put your hand up to, because it's not a condemning question. But how many of you like to be in control of your life, or control of things around you, control of the situation? Yeah, quite a few probably, yeah. So you like to be in control. See, it's interesting for me, I'm a bit of a control freak, okay? This was some of my training I went to. Can you turn me down just a little? The main mic, the main sound. There we go. So I'm a control freak, okay? My job before this was an instrumentation and controls engineer. So I wrote programs on how things should operate because I was in control of them. I like to control my situations. And sometimes you can't control everything. Sometimes you need to trust Him. So I want to read to you from Deuteronomy 9, verse 23, and I'm just going to read this one verse. But it's an interesting verse, because whenever God's people are about to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land, God wanted them to understand that they weren't receiving the blessing of the promised land because of anything they did. It wasn't because they were super awesome people. It wasn't because they were superheroes. It wasn't because, you know, they played rock, paper, scissors with God and won. They were receiving the promised land because of God and who He is, and that fact that God is good. Okay? I think we need to remember that sometimes, is that God is good, and we need to trust Him. He's got good plans. He's got good promises for us. So let's read this scripture. It says, "Go up and take possession of the land I have given you, but you have rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You did not trust Him or obey Him." So there's two things there that they didn't do as God's people. They didn't what? They didn't trust. And they didn't obey. They did not trust Him, you do not obey Him. You do not trust God fully to do what He said He was going to do. See, the problem for so many of us is that I think many, many believers, and I'm not going to point fingers, but they have this partially surrendered life. They don't fully surrender their life to Christ. They hang on. They try to manage things on their own. They try to box in what they're going to give to God control of their life. And they want, you can have this, God, but I'm going to hold on to this. Do you know what I mean? I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with. Because as we asked who likes to have control and keep control of their life, we had lots of hands or nods go on. See, the truth is we're surrounded by people who are control freaks, much like you guys all probably would have been good instrumentation controls engineers, because you wanted to control things. You like to make things work the way you want them to work. In some way, that's how I think many believers are. Now, I'm going to ask you another question, just to reaffirm this. When you're at home watching TV, if you have a TV, who likes to hold the remote control? Yeah, right? Do you? See, when I go to my parents' house, I try to take my dad's remote control, and he gets mad because he likes to watch his old shows like JAG or NCIS or stuff, the reruns from 15 years ago. And I'm like, Dad, you've seen this one 2 months ago when I was here. I don't know what's going to happen, but you watched it. But he likes to be in control of his remote. I think many people do. Or who likes to be in control of the thermostat in your house? Thelma, is it you or John? You? John or Thelma? John. Right, guys? We all like to control something. Maybe it's the phone, maybe it's the remote, maybe it's the thermostat, but it's some things in our lives we try to control. And the sense of being a control freak tends to also bleed in our spiritual lives outside of just our remote control and our thermostat and our phones and this and that. It bleeds into our spiritual life. And what I want to say with this is I'm not telling us to passively live our lives as believers. Not to passively live our spiritual lives and just let things slam us as it may. Or just let things, oh, we'll see how God has this one play out. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there are certain aspects of our lives that we need to give God control over. Right? It's not a fact of, oh, if it's the Lord's will, I'll be healed. That's not what I'm saying. And I hope that's not the lifestyle that we choose to live, is to just leave it to the Lord's will and not actually pray it to be and standing on His promises. That's not what this is about. But there are things that are not hard for us to trust God with, and then there are things that are impossible or seem impossible to give to God, to fully trust Him, to release to Him. So I want us to read Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. This is my second slide and my only other slide, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths." It doesn't say anything about you controlling things. It doesn't say it's telling you right there flat out not to stand on your own understanding. See, God wants us to hold nothing back and to give Him control of our lives. He wants us to stand on the things of Scripture. He wants us to act in the way that He's called us to act. It's not a passive life, but it's actually a proactive, I don't want to say aggressive, but we move forward. We're not sitting back. Do you know what I'm saying? We're not taking the aggressive stance of, it's my way or the highway, God. God, I'm going to stand on your promises and I'm going to move forward in your promises. That's what it is. It's not holding back anything from God, allowing Him to work in your life. God, I believe that you listen to the people's prayers. Do we stand like that and do we pray? Or do we say, God, your will be done. Amen. Do we stand on the promises? See, I've heard a lot of people pray, and they'll pray something, and this isn't word for word, but God, I believe that you answer Lyle's prayers, but I don't think you're going to answer mine, so here goes anyways, though. I'm going to throw it out. That's not how God works, but it's where do we stand? How do we stand? See, God is a God of grace, But sometimes many people don't feel that his grace applies to them as well. And this is some of the stuff. This is one of the things that I wanted to speak about today is, God, I trust you with some things, but God, I believe in you in all things, but I don't fully trust you with everything in my life. So this is where we're going. So I've got a guy to talk about, and his name is Charles Blondin. Have you heard of Charles Blondin? You have? You have? So he's an interesting fella. He was the very first person to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope, okay? I have never been to Niagara Falls. I've been close to Niagara Falls. But this is 160 feet above. Some really crazy water below. Has everybody been to Niagara Falls but me? Yeah. Okay, so Niagara Falls, 160 feet above some crazy water, and about 1,100 feet in distance. So almost a quarter of a mile he had to walk across this tightrope. So it's pretty amazing. And he's tightrope walks across the Niagara Falls. And he completes it. And then he does it a second time. But the second time, how does he do it? No, he's on stilts. He's on stilts. So I don't even want to think about crossing the Niagara Falls, but I wouldn't want to do it on stilts even less. The third time, he's in a burlap sack, and the fourth time, it's not. If that's everything he's done up to that point is not impressive enough, he walks out there halfway, and he's literally standing over Niagara Falls. He kneels down and he cooks an omelet. He cooks an omelet, and then he eats the omelet, and he gets up and he goes the rest of the way. I can't even barely cook an omelet in the house. And then the fifth time, he goes across a tightrope with pushing a wheelbarrow full of potatoes. And he gets to the other side, and I'm guessing it's like, you know, how you see press conferences, and the press is all around, and they're asking, what else are you going to do? And one guy in the press says, Charles, incredible, that's awesome. You know what? I bet you could do that with a person in the wheelbarrow. And you know what Charles says to him? I think you're right. Why don't you hop in? I believe you can. But I don't believe enough to actually get in the wheelbarrow. And I think that's sometimes what we do as believers. God, I believe you can, but I'm not ready to jump in the wheelbarrow. Just like this other guy I know, Peter. He gets out of a boat, he steps on waves, and the wind is crashing, and we've read about this. And we're like, man, I want to be like Peter. I want to have this miraculous life. I want to experience the power of God. But most of us are too freaked out, or we're stuck in our own box that we're too scared to get out of the boat in the first place, just like Peter did, right? And I think, I don't know, God, I trust you with some things, but not everything, is how so many of us live. And if you're finding yourself in this message at all, if you're finding that maybe you're too scared to get in the wheelbarrow with Charles, or you're too scared to get out of the boat with Peter, I want to encourage you. So a little while ago, there was this guy we talked about, this father in Mark chapter 9. Do you remember this story? Mark chapter 9, about the father who brings his son to Jesus to be healed. His son was possessed by a demonic spirit. I hope the story's ringing bells now. And the fact is, the disciples tried to cast out this demon, and nothing happens. And then the dad brings him to Jesus, and he says, but if you can do anything, Jesus, please take pity on us and help us. And Jesus looks at this dad, remember? And he says, I'm sorry? What? If I can do anything? I breathe the galaxies into being at a whisper, and you're asking me if I can help your son? If I can do anything? And I wonder, like, I know Jesus was very meek and mild, but would he have scoffed a little bit if I can do anything? And it's like some of us when we pray, God, if you could do anything, could you just heal my leg? Could you just heal my knee that's bummed? And God's probably like, I'm sure if God wasn't God, he'd probably say, you idiot, and want to backhand us and say, what do you mean if I could do anything, could I heal your knee? He's God! P- Put some faith in the guy. Put some trust in him. He's God. How many of us say that? And I hope you get stirred and you get shot in the knee with my foot right now. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but I hope you wake up. He's God. It's not a, if you could do anything, God, could you help me here? He's God. He's made promises about our healing. By his stripes we are healed. He's God. I'm screaming because I want you to hear it. Because I think far too often we walk around with the attitude, if you can do anything, anything. Right? Am I wrong? I wish I was wrong because then, boy, things would be different. But I don't think I am wrong. See, the problem is that so many of us are like the Father where he says, I believe Jesus, but would you help me overcome my unbelief? See, I want to trust you, and I sort of do, but I have a hard time trusting you in all my ways. God, I can't always trust. God wants us to trust him with everything. It's not a matter of if you could do anything, God. It's God, can you heal my knee? And the answer is always yes, because by Jesus' stripes we were healed. See, some people this is easy. Some people it's not. But for some people that it's easy now, I'm really talking in riddles with this one, I think. But for some of you right now, this is hard. For some of you right now, this is easy. But at one time, for those of you that this was easy, this might have been hard. But we need to stand together and encourage each other. That's why when we gather together on Thursday night to pray, that's why we should all be gathering together to pray. Is because some of those that think it's easy at one time thought it was hard, and they know what you're feeling. And we can encourage each other, we can pray with each other, we can build each other up. Do you know what I'm saying? I hope I'm not speaking to myself. See, some of us, we're thinking about things like our kids or our grandkids and their presence and their futures. Some of us wake up every day feeling and battling fear or battling anxiety, and you have a hard time believing, but we need to stand and believe because he wants us well. He wants us well. Some of us, it's money. But he is able. It's not a God if you're able. He is able. It's not a fact of if he's able. It's a fact of do you believe? Do you trust him fully? See, I think for us, one of the, as believers, as people on 2 feet walking around the earth, I think honesty is the beginning of liberation. See, I don't think it makes sense for us to say, well, yeah, I believe, if we don't really believe. I think it's a matter of saying, hey, Joe, can you help explain this to me? Can you help walk with me through this? I want to believe. I'm working through it, but can you walk with me? And Joe's not going to sit there and say, you're an idiot. Why don't you believe? No, the expectation of this place is that we say, I'll come along with you as we walk and journey to you believing and having full trust in him and his goodness because he loves you. See, Scripture tells us the truth will set us free. That God wants us to be free. It is for freedom that Christ came to set us free, didn't he? So we can stand in freedom. Yet so many of us, maybe not you, maybe somebody else in this room, maybe somebody else at another church, but so many of us live in this little prison we've created for ourselves, and we're holding back, we're hiding things from God that he already knows anyway, so you might as well tell him. But we're holding back because we're scared of the outcome. We're living in fear. And the thing is, God knows. He still loves you. God knew this, and he still sent his son for you. His son still loves you. So just talk to him and build a relationship with him. Build some trust. See, this Proverbs 3 to 5 to 6 is probably one of my most challenging verses for many things because I'm a control freak. I'm a control nut. Because when I trust in the Lord for everything and I'm not leaning on what I know because I don't know more than God. So let me pause you there. Oh, pause me there. See, because my understanding, I need to rely on God for my understanding, don't I? So when I pray, why don't I pray for something we prayed for on Thursday, like wisdom and knowledge, so that my understanding is his understanding, right? So trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Ask for wisdom, ask for grace, ask for joy. Trust in him with everything, everything inside of you. Trust in him. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He is the giver of wisdom. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of health. He's the giver of joy. And he will make straight your path. So you don't have to worry about wandering around all over the map and where am I going to go? Because he's leading your path. Because how do you know where you're supposed to go? Because he's given you the wisdom. He's given you the wisdom to know how to pray. He's given you the wisdom to know how to live and what to do and who to interact with, how to build each other up. So trust in the Lord. How much are we supposed to trust in the Lord? How much? With all what? With all your heart. Trust him. We lean not on our own understanding. We need to acknowledge him in everything. So every struggle you might have that comes up before you, your job, your neighborhood, your hobbies, all your ways, submit to him. And another translation says that he will make your path straight. Oh, that's a strength. I wrote it down. I was going to use another suggestion, another translation. He will make your path straight, guys. He will make straight your path. It's not going to be a lost cause. So, I'm going to invite the team up. But I want to keep talking about the scripture while they're coming. So to apply this scripture to your life, we need to understand what does that mean. Something just happened. So in another version, another translation, is the word submit. And the word submit comes from the Hebrew word yada. Yada. I'm not a Hebrew master. I only Google the odd word. But yada. So what does yada mean? Yada means to know and to submit by observing, reflecting, and experiencing. Observe, reflect, and experience God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Everything about your life, in all your ways, come to know and submit by observing and reflecting and experiencing Christ and his goodness. Not on your own understanding, but on his understanding that he's given you. Then, when you trust, when you obey, when you reflect, when you experience Christ, then your path's going to be straight. He's not going to bring chaos to your life. He's going to bring order to the chaos. But it's not going to happen until you yada him. Until you respect, till you experience, till you reflect, till you observe him and his goodness, till you trust him, till you know him. See, it's all about knowing him. It's not about him loving us. It's not about you love, like, it's all about knowing. It's about understanding. It's about knowing how he works and how all his ways. See, yada, the Hebrew word yada, is the same word used in Genesis that says that Adam yada Eve, and she bore a child. Did you know that? It's not sexual. It's intimate. It's an intimate way of knowing somebody. It's experiential knowledge that's based on the context and covenant and relationship. When we yada God, God, I know you. I trust you. I know your heart for me. I know you have good things for me. I know you have grace for me. I know that I can trust you more, God, than I can trust myself. When you yada him, boy, does that change things. Because trusting him, when you yada him, is a lot easier. Because you know, you experience, you can see it because you have a relationship with him. See, the thing is, many of us wanna see God prove himself first before we have fully yada him, before we trust him. We want, God, if you could do anything, fix my knee, and then I'll trust you, God. But you need to show me something. You need to give me a little bit of down payment here, God. It's kind of what we're asking for, right? Give me some down payment, and then we'll only charge you, God, $99 a month for the next 60 years or however many more years I live. But show me here first. Show me before I show you that I trust you. And that's not how it's supposed to be. He showed us when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. That should have been enough. See, I think there's so many situations where we can say that, and we need to stop, and we need to just trust him. We need to build each other up, and we need to love each other and walk with each other through grace as we show and learn about trusting him and giving him full trust and having faith in him. It's not a, God, if you just help me land this big promotion, then I can serve you. Then I can know you're with me, God. Okay, God, I'm thinking here about tithing. God, but I need to win that holiday home lottery or whatever that U of S puts on or Stars puts on. And then I'll tithe, God. If I know that's happening, God, I can trust you with this. God, I want you to prove yourself so I can trust you. That's not how it works. In fact, everything in Scripture says that's not how God works. What does God want? God wants us to trust him. Then he'll prove himself. God wants us to trust him so he can prove himself to us. See, Hebrews 11, faith is confidence in what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. You have to believe in that which you cannot prove so that it releases God to do what he could never do. You believe in what you cannot see so that God can do the supernatural. We trust in faith, and then God responds miraculously every single time. Faith always comes first. Trust always comes first. If you remember that impala, that antelope-type animal I talked about a few weeks ago, where they're in the cage, but they can jump huge. They can jump 10 feet high. They can jump 30 feet far, but yet they're trapped by a fence that's this tall, 3 feet tall. I don't know if that's 3 feet. Maybe that's 3 feet. You know what I mean? They're in a fence in a zoo by a 3-foot fence. And they don't escape because they don't know where their feet are going to land. But if they would just jump by faith, they would be free. How many of us just stand there and say, I don't know where my feet are going to land, so I'm not going to jump. Just let me stay caged in my prison. I pray that you don't want to be caged in your prison and that you want to jump and be free and live a free and victorious life. I pray that we're not living with the instincts of this impala. God, if you could just do this, he's done it. He's trust him. We need to trust. Trust without seeing. And I know it sometimes that's maybe hard. But it's not if you yada him, if you know him, if you truly know him and understand and observe and know what his characteristics. The moment you put all your trust in God, the moment you do that, you discover three things about God. The first thing is you're going to discover and know the goodness of God when you trust him. The moment you step out in faith and you believe and give him your whole heart and your whole being and your whole life, you're going to discover there the goodness of God. You're going to get to know him. And secondly, you're going to get to know the love of God. See, because I've shared this time and time and time again to you guys. God loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you did on the way here. God loves you. But he wants you to love him. He wants you to be in relationship with him. Now, there's a process there to get to know him and to trust him. But he loves you already, no matter what. And finally, you're going to get to know the faithfulness of God. Because he is always faithful. And his faithfulness continues through generation after generation after generation when we trust him. When we trust him, when we step out. I'm going to pray with you guys. Father, we love you. God, I pray that we would trust you, God, wholeheartedly, fully, that we wouldn't hold back, that we wouldn't waver, but Father, that we would trust you with every piece of our being. Every cell in our body would fully trust you. And God, if at some time we don't trust you, God, that we would be honest and we would go to somebody and have them walk with us, and that there wouldn't be a judgment, that it would be a walk. And that we would walk together to fully trusting. That we would walk together to having fully faith. That we would walk together to fully believing and knowing and yada-ing you. So God, I pray that you would reveal to us if we've been trying to control our lives, if we've been trying to control things rather than walking in your wisdom and in your ways. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you guys to stand and we're going to sing one more song and I'll meet you guys at the door to say goodbye. Stand, please, with us and have a good day.